From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
Welcome to Defrag. We've just had a fight. But we won't even talk about the subject there. Let's just get right down to business
spat.
There. Yeah. All right. From Daniel, what do I have to do to get a Channel 9 guy autographed by both of you? This might be the last Channel 9 guy we autograph after our breakup. So here you go. And you want a blue or red?
I'll go blue.
Okay, here you go.
Your signature is always better than mine.
Well,
you have a much more stylistic.
It's hard to sign those little things.
I know.
And just so you know, whenever we send out one of these that's signed, I send one that's not signed. One ruined with our signatures and one that you can actually display with pride. So there is that. But if you want a Channel 9 guy, all you got to do is ask. Of course, we'd be happy to sign it for you as well. But
although we signed the back, so.
Yeah.
You can always display
it. There's not room in the front.
But
if you want a Channel 9 guy, send me a postcard. Send it to Larry Law, Larry L.A., care of Microsoft. You can send it to Building 20, Channel 9 Studio, Redmond, Washington, 98052. Yeah. All right. Next from Magic Andre and from Paulo. They're commenting on the show last week because I upgraded my computer. Magic says, what SSDs are you using? Hopefully not from OCZ. Zing! He said, I didn't say it. And Paulo says, I'm posting from a machine that was installed with Windows Vista RTM and has been service pack and upgrade all the way to Windows 8. Come on, you need to upgrade that whole machine. I'm happy to tell you, it is upgraded. I've got this machine built.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new machine that I was talking about a couple weeks ago. I'm pretty happy with it. It flies. It screams. And I've got three 1080p displays that I'm using for iFinity. So games, like first-person shooter games, wrap around. It's glorious.
You have 5.1 or 7.1 surround sound?
Come on. Who are you talking to? Of course.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I mean, if you have that many monitors, you kind of have the sound system to go with
you
it,
do,
right?
You do. So, it's very cool. I can do, like, Winamp visualizations that are full screen on all three monitors, and it just looks incredible. So I'm quite pleased with that. And it's ruined Grand Theft Auto 5 for me, because when I put it on the Xbox with its one screen, I'm kind of, come on, I want to go back to a first-person shooter, but, you know. Oh, well. So, I'm happy to say, and what SSDs am I using? They are SanDisk. So, yeah. And I've used
OCZ, OCZ, Vertex's before. Intel's SSDs are phenomenal,
yeah.
But they are very, very pricey.
Yeah, I used to have some OCZ SSDs that were external. They're like little, kind of like a big thumb drive that was an SSD, 64 gig. And they quit mapping, two of them. So, I don't know, go figure. So what I did is I did two SSDs, two 256 SSDs, RAID 0.
Mm-hmm.
So
throwing
the
dice
there. And then I did four 2-gig drives in RAID 0.
Really throwing the dice.
Really throwing the dice. And that's just a super big drive on there that I use for everything that's going on that. And then I back that up all the time. So it's nice having one really big drive on there that I can have everything that I have on one drive.
Mm-hmm.
So quite pleased with it. All right, from Justin, I just upgraded from Windows 8 to Windows 8.1 RTM. Now when I try to enter into PC and devices section of the Immersive Settings app, the Settings app crashes. So you went back and forth with him on this. What did you find?
It turned out that when he switched to 8.1, he actually switched the drives, or he changed the drive letters around.
Yeah.
And the lock screen, I believe it was the lock screen slideshow pictures, he had changed where the location was.
Mm-hmm.
And the settings app was getting confused and then was crashing, and since filed a bug on that. So
okay.
We'll see about what we can do to make that not happen again, because it's pretty bad.
Okay. From Robbie, about every 2 months, Windows 8 updater is failing when Microsoft pushes a big update. Today I had 42 updates and one failed. I tried reinstalling it manually, ran the update troubleshooter, but that they didn't work. So I'm off looking for a fix. And then you asked for the Windows update log.
Yeah, need to see the logs. It'll usually say why it's failing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's because there's a pending reboot for it. You just reboot it. You can manually remove a failing update from the store by using WS Reset.
Okay.
And of course, the troubleshooter. Now, the troubleshooter apparently didn't work in this case, but it usually does work. But without the log, we are just speculating.
Okay, and I think I looked through some of the shows for the future of defrag tools, and I think we're going to have one talking about Windows Update fails and troubleshooting those and stuff like that coming up, so stay tuned on that. All right, next question. I'm trying to create a non-sysprepped recovery image for individual laptops. Will the Windows and Office activation be retained after reapplying the image? The purpose of it is to spend as little time and effort restoring them to original state without having to track individual licenses.
Yeah, absolutely. If you just use the built-in backup tools, you don't have to worry about activations or anything like that, and especially if these are OEM machines, because with the latest BIOSes and the EFIs are storing the license information automatically. So when you're reapplying the image on an OEM-based system and it's using the OEM license that came with the system, it's just automatically activated. You never have to worry about that.
Okay, cool. All right, next question. I finally decided to upgrade my quite old system to Windows 7 x64 from Vista x86, and I have the following question.
So you went from an old OS to another old OS.
Yeah, go all,
interesting.
Just take it all the way. the site for my motherboard, Asus P5K PL, I like that motherboard, by the way, lists the G31 drivers for Windows 7 as release candidate. On the other hand, Intel's site gives a different version of the drivers as apparently not a release candidate. Which one should I install, and which one would it make the most difference? Or maybe should I get the Intel chipset software installation utility? I believe G31 is in Series 3.
Yeah, go to the Intel site and get those ones. They're basically identical.
Yeah.
As far as I know, Asus doesn't do a lot of customizations on their desktop-based motherboards. Their laptop-based motherboards is a different matter.
Yeah.
But you should be able to run the latest Intel drivers and be fine.
Okay, cool. Next question. In my college lab, any student can access a computer with their login info. If it's your first time, the computer will prepare a desktop for you and give you a partition of disk space. I'm not sure how, but this computer barely has 1 meg of free disk space. That's a problem. and I can't delete other users' files since I don't have admin privileges. It doesn't matter because I just use my USB drive and work with it and I don't really need more disk space here. However, some programs I need to use, or I need to generate temporary files in the file system. They don't generate them on my USB drive. So they only have 1 megabyte to make their files. This usually leads to errors for the program, blah, blah, blah. What's an alternative? Is it possible to make Windows 7 use my USB drive as an extension of its disk space? If my USB drive has 32 gig, then the programs will be able to generate up to 32 gig of temporary files, etc. So the way I'd approach that is a Windows to go USB drive. And then when you plug it in and you boot the machine, you're pretty much using that machine without the hard drive that's in it, and instead you're booting off your USB drive as the Windows.
Now, the problem with that, though, is if he's having to access particular software that are on the machine or only available via certificate that is installed on that machine, you know, if it's communicating to a back-end server. So what you can do in this case is, depending on what you have access to launch programs, mm-hmm. all you got to do is change your environment variable for temp.
Okay.
So if you go here and you just type set, for example, your temp location here is pointing to the hard drive.
Yeah.
You can reset this temp location to your USB drive. If you just create a directory on your USB drive called temp, right, and just go set temp equals...
You use that little keyboard.
Yeah, exactly. Equals, say it's D colon / temp, right? You just do that.
Okay.
And then also set it again for TMP, although TMP is rarely ever used. That if you do that in the command prompt and then you launch whatever app that you're using from that command prompt, it'll inherit that environment.
Yeah.
And then you should be able to have those temporary files directed there, assuming that they're using the environment variable. But most apps always use temp.
Yeah.
So that's how I'd approach it if you actually needed to use applications that are physically residing on that machine only.
Okay, cool. There you go. Two solutions for you. Next question. I need a Windows program that hides the name of another program from showing in the Alt-Tab window, but keeps it still showing on the screen. So yeah, I got a program that'll do this. It's called Hide It, and you can get it here. So what this will do is hide any application from showing up anywhere. It only shows the Hide It application in your SysTray, and that you can keep kind of hidden behind the little, you know, squirrel away button.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, this will hide it from your Alt tab, hide it from your screen. Kind of, it's about as subterfuge as you can get with an app. And I've used this off and on. And I typically use this because I don't even remember what app it was now, but I had an app that was just, it would always start up and be like down in the bottom, even though I didn't really use the app that much. So I just used Hide It to keep it from showing up because I didn't use it that much. And
as opposed to just
ignoring
not,
it?
No, as opposed to not having it start up with your system.
I needed it for whatever reason. It was like, I don't know, some other application or something, some driver, whatever. But
the cool thing about this particular app is it's been around since the 9X days.
Yeah, yeah, it is a quite old app, so tried and true. All right, next question. When I turn on my computer this morning, every time I press some specific keys on one, things happen. For example, L goes to switch user page, P goes to choose monitor window, E opens my computer and other things. Every minute or so, start button gets activated. Well, your Windows key is stuck down. There mm-hmm. is no doubt about that.
Yeah,
those
absolutely.
Those are all the telltale signs of a stuck Windows key. So
clean your keyboard.
Thump it, clean it, whatever you can do.
Mm-hmm.
If all else fails, get a new keyboard.
Just funny, the touch covers on the surfaces would never be prone to that.
Yeah.
There's no physical key there to get stuck down.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. All right, next question. I've got a Dyn internal Windows 8 hard drive and a desktop PC. I want to copy the data off it, but it doesn't boot properly. So I was wondering if I could instead boot from a bootable disk containing a cloning software and then clone it to an external hard drive connected via USB 3. Then, if and when that is successful, I'd like to buy a new internal hard drive, pop that in, and copy the data back from the external drive to the internal one. What software would allow me to create this bootable disk to perform this backup operation?
So if they're asking about, they need something to boot from in order to do the clone, yeah, you just use your Windows DVD if you have that. There's numerous boot disks out there. Basically WinPE is what you need.
Yeah.
And if you use WinPE, just use DISM. On the command line in order to take an image of okay. your other drive, and you can apply it, or you just save it off in a WIM file, essentially,
mm-hmm.
Onto your external drive, and you just wait until you have your new drive that you want, and then reapply it.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, then all built-in tools, and I mean, DISM would be it.
Yeah.
If it's failing, you may have read errors, so instead of having a saved complete image, you may just want to find the critical data that you need and just copy that off directly.
Yeah, I was thinking this is just not the way that I would do this. I would just start fresh, but
well, I
just have something in my mind that I feel like I'm more stable if I just reinstalled from scratch rather than trying to switch out hardware. I can't think of any major hardware in a computer that I would switch out without just reinstalling. But I understand it works. There's no reason to do that, is there?
Well, I'd never reinstall for swapping out a hard drive.
Yeah.
Or, sorry, for swapping a vid card.
No, not a video card.
No.
Definitely.
I mean,
even
changing the hard drive, I mean, if it's especially the same exact make, if you're going from
yeah.
platter to platter, SSD to SSD.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't bother with a complete reinstall unless, you know that it is because of a particular corruption on the driver, or it was a virus,
yeah,
or it
yeah,
was,
that's true.
You know, some setting, or just, you know, age. If you've installed a whole bunch of stuff and now your system is just unstable,
mm-hmm.
sure. I mean, but for a failed hard drive, I'm not adverse to cloning it. Generally speaking, though, when I have hard drives that are failed, they're on older systems, you know, with older OSs that haven't been upgraded. So I just take the opportunity at that point to say, oh, okay, this one was running Win 7. Okay, let me get it to Windows 8 or 8.1
yeah.
or whatever.
So I noticed you said if you're changing from platter to platter, SSD to SSD, but what if you're going from platter to SSD?
I like to do a full reinstall in those cases.
Okay, because it acts differently with it?
It does act a little bit differently going from a platter to SSD.
Okay, all right, cool. All right, pick of the week time. And the pick of the week this week is Surface 2. V2 of the Surface. So really cool. What are the new features on this? We've got the modified kickstand that does a second little click back.
Yep. So for the people that are taller, it'll tilt down a little bit further.
Yeah, and I would like that just for like using on my lap and stuff like that. All new backlit keyboard, the flat
and
keyboards
multicolored too.
Multicolored, you got that going for you. They're backlit, which is kind of cool.
And thinner.
Thinner, and they have one now with the battery in it too, so it adds some time to the battery. And then Panos was on Reddit this week too. They did another Ask Me Anything, and one of the things they dropped in there is that they're going to have an LTE version coming out next year. So that is also very cool. If you want
200 gigs of SkyDrive storage,
nice. I mean,
that's pretty sweet.
Cool. And then one of the other things that came out along with this is they're kind of dipping their toe in the water on what they're calling blades, which are the little keyboards that fit on the bottom of a Surface 2 that are specialized. So they have specific functions. So the one that they showed was the guy from Linkin Park, and he's got a music app. And they don't have them here, so I'll get into that in a second. But the guy from Linkin Park was showing how he can use this sequencing software with this new keyboard, and he's like playing the drums on it and stuff like that. And so the keyboard is specifically set for this application, which is kind of cool. And it looked like that keyboard was also backlit as well, which mm-hmm. is very cool too. So I saw that
keyboard. Well, it's more than just backlit too, because it functions as knowing when something is on or off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not just you can see everything in the dark is... You know, when you're mixing something, and you need to know when something is in effect, what effect is actually running. So
it would light up that key and keep it lit when it's on. And
or blink.
Blink with a beat or something. So I saw the keyboard, though, and I was like, ooh, Kerbal Space Program. I could use that keyboard for that because it'd be really cool. It's got a couple of sliders on the side and stuff like that. I could do my throttle on on the game and... So I'm going to have to get my hands on one of those. But the thing with the Blade keyboard that they were showing was it's not actually a product yet. They're kind of looking into that and seeing if that's something that would interest people. They're going to give them out to some musicians. I would imagine the thing that I saw said, you know, maybe if you are really begging them, maybe they'll give you one too. I don't know. So if you present a good use case for it, maybe you can get one. Maybe they'll give me one. For Kerbal, we'll see.
Maybe.
But so let us know what you think about the Blade and what kinds of keyboards you'd like to see. There was an article I saw last night, I think it was on Business Insider, that was talking about some of the different applications you could have with that. And one of them was like point of sale, and another one was like for medical components that might need some specialized keyboard. Mm-hmm. So really interesting idea. Can't wait to see where that goes. Any words? Anything new? Bigger processor. I like that.
Yeah, bigger processor. Surface 2 is thinner, better battery life. Quad-core NVIDIA Tegra 4. You know, you can get up to 8 gig of RAM on the Surface Pro 2, mm-hmm. which is, I know, something that you were wanting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can get pretty darn beefy with this. 512 gig SSD with 8 gig of RAM. Like, that is easily a desktop replacement for a good portion of our customers.
Yeah, this is the main PC that I carry around with me all the time, my Surface Pro.
And the docking station.
And docking station, that's very cool too. So looking forward to that. But the old pen for the Surface Pro works with the new one and vice versa. So,
and the keyboards also work.
Yeah, they're all backwards compatible, forwards compatible.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's really cool. I've been using this one here with the pen quite a bit to paint with Art Rage and love it. So I think the Surface Pro is probably one of the best experiences with a pen that I've ever had on a tablet. So,
well, that's always good to hear because you're a hard customer to sell on tablets and pens.
I am, and I love tablets. I love pens. I love handwriting and handwriting recognition and all of it. So it rocks. It is strong in this, so the force is strong with this one. Yeah. All right, that's the show for this week. If you have questions, you can write us at defragshow@microsoft.com. If you have questions, you can leave them in the show notes or send us an email. If you have a problem, send us an email, though, so Gove can wake up in the middle of the night, lean over, read his phone, troubleshoot, fix everything, go back to bed.
If you have any ideas for, like, an all-show topic, I'd be interested in hearing what specific...
What do you want to
aspect
see? Yeah. We're talking about Syria for the full hour.
Well, I mean, something, right? Is it some piece of Windows that you want some more in-depth information on, like, I don't know, WinSat is, you know, something that comes to mind, or the graphics subsystem. I don't know. Pick something. What do you guys want to hear about?
Cool. Yeah, and we'll focus on that. See you next week.
Take care.